We're doing the Chazanish Emunah u'Bitachon. The Chazanish had discussed last time the idea that a person toils to understand the halacha and then he connects with that halacha. The Chazanish had discussed two levels of connection with that halacha, and he continues in the next paragraph, letter Chet, page Chaf Gimel, the Omnam im Omla shel Cheker ha-halacha מושרשת אהבת הדין באופן מיוחד בהלכה זו שהוא עוסק בה, מוסיפה אהבה כללית לחקר הדין בכל משפטי התורה, כי האמונה בפרטים של המצוות בבחינת רגשי צריכה קניין ואיננה טבעית. Okay, we have to go slowly here. The idea that you work hard to understand the halacha, and as you work hard to understand the halacha, so you develop a connection with the halacha. We discussed this in many different realms on Friday. The fact that you delve into certain halachas also develops a desire to understand the other halachas, not only that halacha. Ki ha'emuna ba'pratim shel ha'mitzvot b'vchinat rigshiyi tzricha kinyan ve'inena tivit. Emuna, when it comes to details of mitzvos, and connecting to them on an emotional level is something that doesn't come naturally. Meaning the natural response to the details of mitzvos is, I don't want to say repulsion, but it's definitely not an attraction. The details of mitzvos. Meaning you hear there's a mitzvah to help someone old. Okay, good. I'm happy to help someone old cross the street. You hear there's a mitzvah of kibud avim. Nice idea, honoring one's parents, servicing one's parents, great. Then you suddenly hear that it'll cost you time. You're going to have to lose work time to do this kibud avim. And you say, wait a second, time is money. And then the halacha says, yeah, but if your father asks you to buy groceries, you could ask him for his credit card. So you say, wait a second, I don't have to pay money to do kibud avim, but I do have to pay time? How does that work? And then you hear that there's an even greater halacha, that if your father happens to take your wallet and throw it overboard, you're not allowed to shame him. You might be able to sue him, because he's not allowed to dispose of your money, but you have to be respectful all the while. And you look at that detail of halacha, and it's like, why? What's going on here? So the details of halacha are not easily lovable. It doesn't naturally happen that you have this great affinity for the details. והמושכל השטחי מרחיקה כגון להאמין, he said, okay, he's going to give an example. He says, when you look at things at a glance, so you're not really interested in details. Meaning, this is one of the challenges outside the walls of Machon Meir, on a university campus, where people walk in and they say, I hear Judaism says this, it's beautiful. They want to learn Pirkei Avot. It's very nice ideas. But they don't want to learn the details. Now, it's natural, right? If you get a very shallow look at Judaism, then Judaism has a lot to offer. It's great. It's a lot of fun. You take Saturday off. You have family time. There's a lot of nice things about Judaism. The holidays are great. But then if you start looking deeper, you start seeing details, and it doesn't match up to what you thought was great about Judaism. It's not the same thing. If you'll develop a better understanding, you'll learn a new beauty. But the details are really less attractive than the shallow view of Judaism. So the Chazon Ish says, there isn't a natural affinity to the details of mitzvos. That's something that one has to acquire, and as one works on understanding the halachot, that's part of what one develops, a connection to the details as well. For example, Lehamin ki ne'ur habeged b'shabbat u'chiyuv chatat. We have a halacha that if you have a garment that's almost finished, and the only thing left to finish off that garment is to shake off the loose hairs. You sewed a garment, and then when you shake off all the loose hairs, you have a black garment. You have to shake off all the white threads. And then that garment is ready to be used. So you look at that, and you say, shaking off that garment is a biblical prohibition, because you're really finishing off the garment by shaking it off. The flip side of it is, taking an axe and cutting a piece of wood into two, that's a rabbinic prohibition. You look at that and you say, wait a second, that seems to be much more serious than this. Here I just shook the garment, or we would say taking something from public domain to private domain. You moved it 2 inches, biblical prohibition. And yet around your house, you carry books all around, you move bookcases, it's all rabbinic, not biblical. So you look at that and it's not intrinsic, it's not intuitive. Or lehamin ki hakelim shenimkul enochi be'er Pesach tzrichim tevila la'achar ha'Pesach. This idea that if you sell your vessels to a non-Jew on the eve of Pesach, you tell them, here, I want to give you all my cups. When you acquire them back, you have to immerse them all in a mikveh. Why? Wait a second, the details don't exactly work out. We don't sell our vessels. We sell the chametz. And if you take a look at the monetary laws, it gets even tougher. Because then a person has a quarrel with his friend. What happens is all the different parts of his persona unite against his friend, that vile creature that dares sue him or deny the money he owes him. Suddenly what happens is a person finds himself, everything about him is united in his focus and his attitude to his friend. And human nature is that people don't find fault with themselves. What happens is a person's, his own partiality shifts him, and he crosses limit after limit. Lesameinav, he's blinded. Vilatimos navi, he becomes deaf. Vliyashov enav kol hadurim. Or azikanal vavol akir mishpat v'lerot refa le'atzmo. It becomes much harder. People come and tell him, "Hey, don't you think you're taking this too far?" No one to talk to. I don't know if you guys have seen this. Sometimes you see it in bitter divorces, where people destroy one another. They destroy the kids. It's like no holds barred. You look at it and you say, don't you see what you're doing? And you see intelligent people destroy their lives and destroy their kids' lives. I told you guys the story about the fellow who used to come to the yeshiva with a cart, with a push cart. Yeah, okay, I guess it was last year. Okay, just 1 second.
I'm not sure if I care about myself.
We had a fellow who used to come every 2-3 years. He'd come up from wherever, another state, and he'd walk in dressed all classy, spectacles. I told you the story. And he'd sit down and learn, and after a few days he'd start acting weird. And a few days later, he'd start acting more weird. And finally, he'd reach a point where he'd put on a Walkman and start walking around with a pushcart, like a homeless person, really homeless, lie down in the back of the base medrash, made in his pants, like completely, you know, completely gone. Now, this guy who, when he'd walk into base medrash, was like, seemed like, okay, sit down and learn. And during the course of 2 or 3 months, you'd see him going downhill, and then that's it. He'd hit bottom. Like, you couldn't talk to him. He was completely insane. So they explained to me that he has a sister who takes care of him. And every so often he runs away. And we call his sister, and until she can get her act together and pick him up, he keeps running away from her. When he's by her, she takes care of him, and then he's on medication. And then when he's all with his medication, he could function like a normal human being. But there's one thing, he tries to get away from the medication. Finally, he escapes, he comes back. We contact the sister. By the time she catches up to him, he's had a few months to get the medication out of his system. And that's a deterioration you see, to the point where he's completely insane. But the frightening part of the story is that the principal says that he knew him as a little boy and he was perfectly normal. The kid was a normal kid. And what they saw in the school was that one day the kid came in, it's a wintry day, he had a nice new coat, and the next day he comes in and he's without a coat. So the principal goes over to the kid and says, "Hey, Ari," I made up a name, "where's your coat?" So the kid says, "Well, my dad gave me a brand new coat yesterday, and last night I went to stay by my mom. When she saw that my dad gave me a new coat, she put it in the incinerator, so now I don't have a coat." And the principal said, he witnessed how the parents made a normal kid go from being a regular kid, slowly, 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 they kept breaking him emotionally to the point where he went crazy. Because something he had the bad fortune to actually witness happening before his eyes. So you see things like that, and unfortunately these are things we witness daily, where people have such spite. They hate the other so much, they're going to destroy everything. They're willing to destroy even the kids. And you try talking to them, and there's no one to talk to. You try again, you try bringing other people in, nothing, and they're convinced they're right. And they don't even see what they're doing, says the Chazon Ish. Take a person who's been hurt. Take a person who has a personal vendetta. Now go talk to the guy logic. Suddenly, everything he's doing is right. The other guy's the worst in the world, and there's no talking logic. This is what the Halacha says. Can a person see lir'ot treifa le'atzmo? Can a person slaughter his own animal? Now, an animal, you're talking about a value of 2,000 to 3,000 shekel. And that's a small animal. We're not talking about a big bull. You're talking about a small sheep, 2,000 shekel worth of meat. And then he checks the animal, and he says, there's something here that disqualifies this meat. It's a treifa, not kosher. I'll sell it to the non-Jewish meat market, and I'll take a loss of 1,500 shekel. Can a person see that? So the Chazon Ish is using it as a borrowed term. Can a person look at himself and honestly see, hey, this is wrong about me. I'm wrong in this area or that area. That's very hard. Kasher samlilot kayamim b'chikur ha-din v'izun mishpat b'sifrei ha-mfarshim v'ha-poskim asher itvu lanu et derech ha-torah she-be'al peh ha-chava min hayam. As a person spends night and day learning through the texts that were written, figuring out the oral law, figuring out the halacha, and the oral law is so broad, and yet the commentaries try to get it down to an exact science, what the halacha is in each scenario. But if you work hard at it, ha'igiyah hazot hitris biyado keneged ha'tacharut shebnei adam ve'avat ha'chamas. The fact that we work hard understanding the laws of monetary damages is supposed to train us and give us a shield. A shield in the face of crazy competition, where people are willing to cheat one another, steal from one another. And if you work hard understanding the laws of justice, that's supposed to affect the person so that he loves justice. The Torah, when it discusses monetary laws, is not only giving us a system of how to behave, it is giving us an educational tool. Work at learning it, and you will become one who seeks justice. To the point where, when things are wrong, and there's an argument, and there's a fight, you'll be able to maintain clarity and honesty. And if a person works hard at it, then suddenly justice becomes his most treasured asset. Now that's not human nature. Human nature is, his family is his treasured asset. His wealth is his treasured asset. His reputation, his fame. There are many things that are his treasured asset. Honesty isn't one of them. says the Chazon Ish, part of what happens is we learn the details of the halacha, details which we don't intrinsically love. It doesn't come easy. You look at the details of halacha, and it's a pain in the neck. It's not what you want. But if you work at it, then you develop a connection to that halacha, where that halacha becomes a part of the person. So the Chazon Ish has shifted here, if you've noticed, to discuss tools for acquiring emunah. Tools that we can use in our day-to-day learning that will help us connect to the concepts, to these high values that we aspire to live by. This isn't easy. But these are excellent tools. You know, I think that when one approaches his learning with this knowledge, then there's a greater potential for the learning to impact the person. There's a reason why at the end of the order on damages, we have a tractate called Pirkei Avos. Because you could learn the order of damages and walk away with a great understanding how to cheat everyone. You know the nuances of the laws, so now you know how to really take good care of yourself. So we conclude the laws of damages with an understanding of how to be an ethical person. Ethics of our fathers, Pirkei Avot. Because that's supposed to shine back on the whole order of damages. It's supposed to train us, to teach us how to be ethical. And it doesn't necessarily happen. You could learn the Torah and know the details and not be shifted and still be a dishonest person. It's possible.
You got to work on it.
You got to want to work on it. That's the old saying, I know how much Torah he's learned, but I'm not sure how much Torah's taught him.